Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, chef.
Yeah.
Connecticut.
What's up, Sports City family? We here. It's the NBA season is upon us, so you already know it's the Crossover Cafe. We're back cooking in the kitchen, giving you some nice crossover dishes. I guess we can call some spin moves. I don't know what we want to call it, but we're back. The Crossover Cafe NBA preview special is upon us. The call-in number 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next 60-plus minutes talking the NBA season that has just kicked off. Of course, I can't do it without a co-host. I can, but you don't want to hear me talk for an hour. I barely like hearing myself talk for 15 minutes on the finger food. But you know I got in the building from the 703 repping all over. He reps every area code. Don't let him tell you otherwise. He says, oh, we rep two, but no, he reps every area code. I got Mr. Serious Aaron Simmons in the building. Aaron, what's going on, brother?
Yo, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703. I don't know where this man gets off talking about like I rep all this other type of stuff, man. 412 and 703. You know what I'm saying? What's up, man, Barry? What's going on, man? We got a lot of crossover cafe stuff to talk about, man. Shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks who got their rings tonight, man. But I ain't gonna get to this, man. Let's go to work.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks, as of right now, as we're recording this show live, are up 79-67 against the Brooklyn Nets. Got their rings tonight, open up the season fittingly as the defending champs, get to kick off the NBA season. But, you know, we could dive into this game a little bit, but, I mean, you know, listen, the Milwaukee Bucks, they're on a high right now getting their rings. They came out blitz the Nets. The Nets are hanging tough, shooting their way back into the game. Holiday went down with a little injury. We'll see if he can get back. We're not sure. But, you know, I don't know if you've been watching the game a little bit. Just give me, like, a quick 2 cents, if you have, on what you've been seeing so far in this game.
You know, honestly, I haven't taken a look at it. I have some family stuff to take care of. I'm just now getting in the crib now. I'm about to turn it on. But, yo, man, it's crazy sitting here talking basketball, man. It seems like just yesterday the Milwaukee Bucks were crowning this champ. You know, shout out to Drew. Hopefully he's able to get back. But, yeah man, it's crazy talking basketball with you guys, man.
Absolutely. I got another chef I want to bring in, you know, part-time cook, but he likes cooking nevertheless, repping that 914. We got my main man, Mr. Chen, the Chen Dynasty, in the building. Alan, what's going on, brother?
What's up, fellas? You know, being a Mets fan, baseball's over, Jets fan, you know, that football, really not my thing, but I'm excited to cook up some meals with you guys for this upcoming NBA season. Quick shout out to the WNBA, Chicago Sky, won the championship. Candace Parker's, you know, I read something where she was the most overrated WNBA player like 2 years ago, so I'm sure she has a lot to say right now. But just looking forward to another NBA season and cooking some meals with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to her. I mean, UConn product, getting that ring against Diana Taurasi, another UConn product. You know, Chicago Sky winning, I think it was in four games. So impressive, Candace Parker. But yes, NBA season is here.
Didn't Candace Parker go to Tennessee?
She went to Tennessee,
no.
Barry. I wanted to.
Oh, my bad, my bad, my bad. See, I tried.
You get an East Africa, man. Tighten up.
This is show one
at a crossover cafe. I got to get them right, y'all. I got to get them right. My bad. I got to get them right.
I mean, at least I got – listen, anybody else would take offense by that, but I'm glad I got my two chefs in here correcting me, because if the villain is wrong, he's wrong, and he'll admit it. I was wrong. You're right. You got it right for me. The people need to eat the right dish. You don't put too much salt in it. You got to season it right. So season the bird right. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. So, listen, let's get right to it, because we got a lot to talk about, so little time. You know, the NBA season kicked off tonight, like we said, with the Bucks and the Nets. No shortage of headlines going into this season. I want to spend at least, 10, 15 minutes diving into this, and then we'll get into the preview of the teams. But first, I want to get this little appetizer out. Marvin Bagley's agent came out today and blasted the Sacramento Kings, saying, quote, unquote, this is a case study in mismanagement, saying, I want to read the quote. I'm trying to pull it up, but I had it, but I don't have it. But basically what's going on is that Marvin Bagley fell out of favor, wasn't traded at the deadline last year, wasn't traded in the offseason, comes into this season not unexpectedly, but didn't really think he was going to be on the team. And then now he's not in the line of rotation for opening night, not even in the starting lineup, not in the rotation. So, I mean, Sacramento Kings drafted Marvin Bagley, number two overall in the draft in 2018. And now he's not even in the rotation. Sirius, I'll come to you first really quickly. I mean, the Kings, what are they doing?
You know, this is a team, honestly, that's kind of been stumbling, if you will, ever since. They haven't been right since they lost to the Lakers, in my opinion, several years ago when Shaq was calling the Sacramento Queens. I'm using air quotes there. they ain't been right since. But for me, I'm not too sure why Marvin Bagley's agent, would even say too much of anything. Let's keep it all the way a buck. You know, Marvin Bagley hasn't really been going out there and shooting the lights out and doing what he needs to do to make sure that he's in the best possible position for his type of success. So if anybody, is talking about being falling out of favor, Marvin Bagley needs to really look at himself in the mirror and kind of come up with a reason as to why he's not in the gym working on his own game. You know, for that, again, it baffles me that he's even going there. Like, he's 14. I mean, he's a 14-point scorer over the course of 3 years. He was drafted in 2018. So if you're going to really talk, have your agent talk that stuff, you really got to go out there and back it up. And unfortunately, for him being the number two overall draft pick or being a high draft pick like he is, again, it's not really matching up. So he's a long list of players that, should have been traded this offseason and wasn't. I'm sure we'll get to the other ones here shortly. But ultimately, it is what it is, man. Like, here's the thing. It baffles me. And again, I'll stop talking in a minute. It baffles me that these players have their agents, throw shade at an organization. If you got an issue with an organization, have a set of brass on you and say what you got to say. And stop hiding behind, well, my agency's going to say this or my agency's going to say that. If you got an issue with how the Sacramento Kings are playing you or how the Sacramento Kings are treating you, then you go up to the head coach, you go up to the GM, you go up to the owner and be like, yo, this is my beef with y'all. You know what I'm saying? What's good? But yet you hide behind your agency and your representation to do your dirty work for you. That's the equivalent to me of, DK Metcalf throwing shade at Shannon Sharp and then coming back and being like, yo, my bad, dog. You was right. You know what I'm saying? That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think he wants to be traded. I think the Kings, I don't know what they're thinking. They should have been trading him. I mean, listen, he's not a bad player. I think, you know, defensively he needs to improve. I think it's just not a fit for him in Sacramento. But, I mean, you know, the agent's trying to get him out of town, and this is how you're going to do it. If you show a malcontent, you show a disgruntled player, or you just show a situation that shouldn't be, you're going to move the needle, and that's what they're trying to do. Alan, I don't know if you heard about this story, but I'd love to get your opinion on Marvin Bagley and the Kings.
So I'm just going to play devil's advocate and say, I mean, that's what Marvin Bagley has an agent for, to do the dirty work for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marvin Bagley's supposed to be in the gym working on his game, and that's what an agent's for. So I think the agent's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, because for us to be talking about Marvin Bagley to start the preview show shows you that his agent, Jeff Schwartz, is doing a good job, because Marvin Bagley's name is out there. He's not playing, but his name is out there. And whether or not he plays, you know, that's going to be up to the Kings, Marvin Bagley. But another thing I'm thinking is maybe the Kings are holding him out so he doesn't get hurt. He might be, you know, I know we're going to talk about him next, Ben Simmons. So I have a feeling at some point the Kings and the 76ers are going to make a trade. So maybe, you know, Marvin Bagley, the Kings are protecting him, quote unquote, because he is an asset. He is a trade asset. So maybe they don't want him to get hurt. But I personally, I think it's weird that they're sitting him, not even playing him, because I feel like you got to show the rest of the league that he can play or he has some kind of skill set. But I'd also see it where they're trying to protect him where he doesn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm. What did you say, Aaron?
So.
I said, yeah, you got to showcase him.
So I'm not sure if they're trying to protect him from injury, but they need to showcase him too. So it's a tough line for the Kings, but I feel like, you know, his agent's right. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, because he's getting that whatever percentage fee for Marvin Bagley's contract. So he's got to be out there, you know, getting in the mud for Bagley. So I think, you know, I think it's a good situation for the agent to be out there talking to the management, because if Bagley really wants, Bagley obviously doesn't have a good relationship with management, you know, so he's going to let his agent do the dirty work.
Yeah, I just don't understand what the point is. I mean, they said, like, you know, he had that wrist injury a month before the trade deadline last year. That's why they really couldn't move him. You know, it was going to be harder to move him, but, you know, he's completely healthy now, so what are you waiting for? But then they're coming out and saying they had no plans on trading him. So what are you doing with them? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. It's mind-boggling. I don't know if it's a – it's going to be a distraction for a team that really – I mean, nobody's really thinking too much about. But, I mean, across the way, you're talking about a major distraction, which Sirius alluded to in Philadelphia. I mean, news came out today. I mean, listen, the timeline from this with the Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons has been going at a rapid pace. He reported to camp – was in COVID, not protocol, but, you know, getting tested, hadn't practiced much with the team. Even though he was allowed to practice with the team, he chose not to. As early as yesterday, there was images of him being a loaf in practice, cell phone in his pocket during practice, not participating in the team huddle. And as soon as they said break, he was hitting the door. And then today he didn't want to go into a drill. Doc Rivers asked him. He said no. Doc Rivers said, I think you're better off going home. And then subsequently, he's been fined and suspended for one game. He's been fined $1.4 million so far, hasn't gotten any of the checks from the preseason games, the fines are just coming. So it's an ugly situation. Sirius, I know you have opinions on it. I'd love to get your take on a little bit on the Simmons piece, because we've been talking about that. Where do the Sixers go, like, as a team, as we open up the season? Can they be counted as a contender now that we knew Simmons wasn't going to be around because he said so, but now, you know, with all this going on, how does it affect their stock in the Eastern Conference?
You know, honestly, I think it affects it tremendously. I mean, here's the thing. You got the Milwaukee Bucks, who are going to be, you know, in the thick of things. Obviously, Brooklyn, regardless of what, you know, Kyrie does or doesn't do, is going to be in the thick of things. I think the Chicago Bulls are going to have some things to say. in the Eastern Conference. So the Eastern Conference is coming. It's coming around. So if you are relying on Joel Embiid to kind of sustain you and carry you, this is a guy who, in my opinion, has gotten better, but really, you know, he scares me as far as injury is concerned. And, you know, you're going to, you know, rely on, you know, some backups to play your starting point guard position. And, I mean, it just puts a gray cloud over your whole organization the longer he is affiliated with your team. So I think it hurts them tremendously until he's moved. Now, once he's moved and they're able to get some type of deal for him or whatever and get this out of the situation, then we can have the conversation. But until he's moved, he's going to continue to cast his black, dark cloud over this organization. And the other teams are just going to progressively get better and pass them by.
Siri, if I come right back to you, I want to ask you a really quick question. Whose fault is this right now? At this point, at this stage, with Simmons suspended, not here, who's at fault?
I've beat the drum for this for a good month and a half, 2 months. This is all on Philadelphia. This is all on Philadelphia. And in my opinion, again, I'm not going to waste any more time on it, but if you knew this was going to take place, he said that he did not want to play there. You guys damaged the relationship. I don't even know why you're going through the dog and pony show. Get the guy away from your franchise and move on. You know, the asking price is way too high. Come down. If Philadelphia really wanted him gone, they could have moved him, and they chose not to.
I totally agree. Alan, I'd love to get your take on Simmons. Where do the Sixers go from here? Can they be counted on as one of those upper echelon Eastern Conference teams with the Nets and the Bucks without Simmons and with all this chaos going around the team?
So before I talk about Simmons, I just want to Siri said that the East is coming. I think the East is here. I think they have the two best teams in the NBA right now, but we can talk about that later. So regarding Ben Simmons, I think the best analogy I heard was from Gilbert Arenas on his podcast, No Chill Gil. He said the Sixers have a sports car. Whether or not you agree, Ben Simmons at that level, Gilbert Arenas says the Sixers have a sports car, but they're treating him like a Toyota Camry, and letting the world know he's a Toyota Camry. Talking about all his deficiencies, he can't shoot free throws. He doesn't want the ball in crunch time. So we started talking about the show, talking about mismanagement. I'm completely agreeing with you guys. Like, the Sixers have completely mismanaged this whole situation from the end of the playoffs, throughout the offseason, and now the upcoming, you know, the first few practices. Now Ben Simmons is going to be suspended the first game. It's just not a good look for management, because after the playoffs, they're trashing him. Oh, he's not a good fit. He can't shoot free throws, can't shoot from outside. He doesn't work well, Joel Embiid. So you trash, like, basically trashing him and, like, just decreasing his value. So why would any team want him when you're the owner of this, quote-unquote, sports car, and you're talking about how bad the sports car is? Now you came and trade him. Because I'm thinking the whole offseason they couldn't have got a trade done. Like, Ben Simmons is a good player, but, like, some of the trade proposals I saw with, like, Golden State, all these draft picks, Draymond, Andrew Wiggins, I was like, what is going on? I was like, I don't think Ben Simmons is at that level. I would have been happy with I'm like, Sacramento could have thrown in Bagley, Barnes, De'Aaron Fox, and then maybe they give back Simmons and Tobias Harris. I would have done that deal if I was the 76ers, like, really quick. But I guess they – so it's weird. They see the value in Simmons because they want all this back, but then they trash him, so it's definitely mismanagement on Philly's part for sure.
Yeah, it's a classic. I agree with you both. Like, you're trying to sell me that this pile of not saying that Simmons is a pile of crap, but you're trying to say that this pile of crap is worth $1 million when I know it's a pile of crap. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying Simmons is a pile of crap. I want to be clear about that. But you know what I mean? You can't treat him like that and then try to get the most out of me. If I'm trying to buy it, I'm going to give you pennies for that pile. You know what I mean? That's what you're presenting me. So You're totally right, Sirius. You're totally right, Alan. You know he wanted to get traded all off season. He said it. He said he didn't want to come back. He trashed the fans, like, blames them. Like, listen, I'm not defending Simmons. I don't think he's in the right in this. I think he has as much to blame as the Sixers. But the Sixers have mishandled this. You're trying to get something overpriced for because you see that what you're paying him. But his value, if you were trading him before the Hawks series, that's one thing. But after the Hawks series, his value is totally in the drain. You should have traded him. You should have taken what you got and moved on. Now you have this headache. He's only in camp for his money, and he has made that abundantly clear. So now you have a total nightmare on your hands, and he should not be allowed back in the facility until you orchestrate a deal, and you had better orchestrate a deal. But, I mean, it is what it is. I got the big boss man, the head honcho, TP Time was in the building. I'm going to bring him in and get his opinion on this before I switch gears. TP, what's going on, brother?
Not too much, man. Doing a lot of running around, man. How everybody doing?
We are good. We are sitting here cracking open this bottle.
What's good, TP?
Not much, man. A little stunning news going on, man. Just trying to stabilize myself as much as possible, but the show must go on.
I hear you. Maintain, brother. Maintain.
Yeah, man. Also, I hear y'all talking about Benjamin, I think it is. Correct.
Yes, Ben Simmons, the whole saga that has unfolded today, I'd love to get your opinion on it. I kind of taken a little twist on it to see where the Sixers go from here. Are they a contender? You can talk about the Simmons situation in depth, or you can go into how the Sixers respond this season without Ben in the fold, quote-unquote, officially.
I am in a situation where I think they fall. I don't think that they're going to be that big of a contender in the East now. With this going on, I think you got to watch Doc as close as possible, especially with all of the falling that he's been taking from him going to Orlando, not being able to get out of the first round with a legendary Tracy McGrady, being graced in Boston to get a Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and a Paul Pierce to come together and make that happen. Ever since then, it's like he's been in the postseason and not really been able to do much with the Clippers. He goes here and has the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and has a star that is not able to ably, you know, put himself out there amongst the other stars. And not being able to corral this and not even getting able to be able to play defense and bringing them back there. There's a lot of pressure on Doc Rivers. I don't know how much he dodges of it. Ben Simmons, if I were you, just retire. And just retire. I feel like Stephen A. when he's telling them this, if you don't want to play basketball in a market where they're giving you $30 million and you're going out there in practice with video of you not playing because you just don't want to be there because of your own actions, it's not because of them, I don't know where you go. I don't even know if the Sixers intrigue other teams to get you. I wouldn't even, like, send him to Golden State so it could be easy for him to just pass a ball and just play defense and not try to score. Like, I would send you somewhere bad. You lucky Maine doesn't have a basketball team, and I send you the Maine Lobsters or something. Like, you would be stuck on that team.
Lobsters.
I would not make it feasible for you. But, see, that's the problem with Simmons. You know, like people in the Simmons family, you got to deal with them as they come. And that's one thing or the other. So from Benjamin to Aaron, you know, I'm cool with Leah and company. That's all right, though. But, you know, some Simmons you have to deal with at the end of the day. But it is what it is.
I mean, that is your cousin. That's your cousin.
I don't claim him. He cut off. I make my layup.
Listen, I agree with you, TP. I think they do take a step back. I mean, listen, we gotta put respect on the Bucks name, right? I think a lot of people, you know, kind of think of them as an afterthought champion. And you know, it's like, well, if the Nets were healthy, if Kevin Durant's toe wasn't on the line, if Kyrie was healthy, et cetera, or if the Lakers were healthy, they wouldn't have got – No. They did what they had to do. They won that chip. They out of those big three in the East, are the most, like, sound team right now. I mean, I'll move right into the Nets situation with Kyrie Irving electing not to get the vaccine and is not going to be available for the Nets. I mean, you know, TP, I'll come right back to you. I mean, you're talking the Sixers without Simmons. You're talking the Nets without Kyrie to start the season. We don't know how long that saga is going to play out. I mean, the Bucks are – they don't have that kind of situation. They're riding high. They got their rings today. They're you know, as good as they're going to be, right? I mean, can the Nets – where do you think the Nets will play out? If you think the Sixers will come down, the Nets are two big three without one of them. Where do you think the Nets will be come playoff time? Are they going to be an elite team still, or do they take a step back?
So they'll be the number two seed in the East. I think that's where they'll end up falling, but the way that they're looking in this Bucks game right now, they're struggling. And defensively in the paint, they have their issues.
Yes.
And I think it's more or less just dealing with Giannis. Giannis is just too much of a problem. He now has a jump shot now. He's believing in himself to shoot it, even on the off the dribble. And he knows how wiry he is. Like, it's going to take a high jumper to contest him at the rim or – whatever he does in the paint. So this is the confidence that he's built after what he's seen that he did in the past season. So I feel like Brooklyn's still going to be a juggernaut in the East. Kyrie, I mean, he's going to have to get this figured out as soon as possible. I don't want to force to say that because I feel like this is him at the end of the day. But if he's playing around or pondering like he's not against it, but he wants to, and then he says he's not going to take the shot, it's like, well, then that's how the situation is going to pan out for you at the end of the day. So I'm not all for it. We will actually see how this actually pans out, but I think Brooklyn will still be a top seed, no lower than four. I don't think it'll be lower than four, but I really think there'll be a two seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, I still think they're a good team without them. And I agree with you. I think Giannis is too much for them to handle. You're not going to face him 82 times this season. You're, you know, only four games, so other than that, you're not going to have that problem. But the inside is a problem for me for the Nets. I think the front court is a problem. But Mr. Alan Chen, I'll come to you. I mean, where do you see the Nets finishing out this year with Kyrie Irving possibly not being available this year due to restrictions in New York City for him not being able to be indoors without the vaccine? ESPN forecasting that 58 wins. They're over under. I think TP had said was 56 and a half. I think it was 55. Caesars has 56 and a half. I mean, pretty high number. Where do you see them playing out with or without Kyrie Irving?
So I think that the Nets will be fine. I think it was best that they just decided that Kyrie doesn't play this year unless he gets vaccinated. So that distraction, that headache is gone. I know it's still looming because he might get vaccinated. But they still have two of the best, arguably two of the five best offensive players in the league. So they're going to be fine offensively. Yeah, there has some issues defensively, but maybe, you know, Claxton will step up, make some big improvement. He'll be that shot blocking presence. And, you know, Aldridge is still old and Millsap. They're running old with Griffin, Aldridge, and Millsap. But I think between the three of them, they'll hold down the front court. I mean, they're not great defenders or shot blockers, but they'll do enough because they still have KD, have Harden. And, you know, Patty Mills is going to be a good pickup. He was on fire in the first quarter for the Nets. Joe Harris is a shooter. And then you got Cam Thomas, the rookie. He might be a sleeper, and he's going to put up some numbers. So they're going to be fine because NBA right now is all about offense, and the Nets have plenty of it. I don't see them being lower than a 2 seed. They could still wind up being the number 1 seed because I just feel like, you know, the Bucks are going to be on their championship honeymoon. They're going to kind of maybe coast the first part of the year. You know, they have some new additions, Grayson Allen, Rodney Hood. So sometimes, you know, gel and adjust. And, you know, I still think the Nets are going to be the number 1 or 2 seed because of KD and James Harden. No team can say that they have those two. So they'll be okay.
Yeah, I wish I could have those two. But, I mean, yeah, I think Paul Millsap coming in is an underrated pickup for them. I really like him in the front court, but I still think they don't have enough size to go against, like, the Bucks and the Lakers. I think they should be able to go against the Bucks and the Lakers in the Eastern Conference Final or NBA Final because they just have that kind of talent. Serious, I mean, I'd love to get your opinion on the Nets. Where do they go from here with or without Kyrie? How far will Durant and Harden take them?
And you know what? That's the question that remains to be seen because I'm going to keep it all the way a buck with you. This Nets team is loaded, you know. You got, again, like my man Allen said, two of the, you know, top scorers in today's game on the same team. And at any given moment, they can erupt, and KD's a walking bucket, you know. So I think they're going to be okay, you know. Again, this Milwaukee Bucks team is tall. They're long. So they're going to pose a problem. So, but other than that, I think they'll be fine. TP said 2 seed. I hate agreeing with that guy. But, you know, I think, you know, I don't see them dropping more than 3, you know. They may, you know, load manage some guys here and there, or, you know, somebody may go down with an injury or something like that. But this team is way too talented to have that much of a drop-off without Kyrie. And that's saying a lot because, I mean, if Kyrie was healthy – and, you know, or I'm saying healthy because right now he's not vaccinated. So if Kyrie was, you know, vaccinated or whatever the case may be, this would be a whole different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, the Nets are supremely talented with their top two players. You know, listen, with Kyrie, it's championship or bust. I think without him, it's still championship or bust. But I think with him, there's no way that I don't think anybody would keep them out of the finals, let alone a 2 seed, like TP said. I do still think they can get that to one or two spot. You know, I'll come right back to you, Sirius, about the Bucks. I mean, you know, like I said, we got to put some respect on them. They're the champs. That, you know, to be the man, woo, you got to beat the man. Can they defend their crown? Can they get back to the finals this year with Giannis and company?
I mean, it's very, very possible. I mean, again, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You know what I'm saying? So they are now the hunted, you know, instead of the hunters, so to speak. So they're going to get every team's best shot. We all know that. You know, even right now, this game was cut to 9 before that bucket right there. So, I mean, Brooklyn is right in this thing. You know, again, teams in the Eastern Conference, like my man Allen said, you know, they're going to come up, and, you know, we haven't even spoke Western Conference yet, and that whole conference is loaded too. So, I mean, it's very, very possible. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, if Giannis, you know, continues to trust his jump shot, which he looks like he developed, if they're able to get significant contributions from their bench like they got a season ago, and they just, you know, again, on the good side of Lady Luck, I mean, anything possible. I'm not going to pick against them in the Eastern Conference until somebody shows me they can do it consistently.
Yeah, I mean, I think they don't have Bobby Portis. He was a big lift for them against the Suns in the finals. You know, when he gets back, this team is still going to be pretty loaded. I mean, Allen, what do you think about the Bucks' chances of repeating as champs this year?
I know DP mentioned earlier about Giannis having confidence jump shot, and I saw some clips, and it does look different. He's not shooting from the side anymore. He's actually shooting like he actually has good form. I watched part of the game earlier. He looks more confident at the free throw line. He's not bouncing it like 5 times. He asked for the ball. He took one big breath, bounced it once, and shot it. So if he could hit threes and, you know, and hit his free throws, like, I don't know, say he gets his free throws up to 75% and his three-pointer to 35%, like, his numbers are going to skyrocket. And, I mean, he has a chance to be MVP again. But one big loss is P.J. Tucker. They don't have P.J. Tucker anymore because, you know, I felt like he does all the dirty work. He's the one that has to guard KD and make KD work, even though KD just gets his buckets anyway. But losing Tucker is big. But, you know, they got a deep roster. They got, you know, they added Grayson Allen. George Hill is a good add. He's old, but he's a good addition, veteran presence. They also added Ronnie Hood. I feel like I was watching the young kid, Jordan Noir. I mean, if he could develop and step up, he could try to offset the loss of, you know, P.J. Tucker. He's a big, young, athletic wing.
Yeah, he's a big athletic wing.
So maybe he could be the one defending the wings in the Eastern Conference instead of Tucker. Because I mean, but losing Tucker is a big loss. So I mean, I still see them being number one or two seed. It's pretty much them or the Bucks if they're both you know, injury free. I feel like the Bucks, you know, they have a good chance of repeating. I know last season we all made jokes about Giannis and not stepping up, but at the end of the day, he is who he is, and he scores 50 points to close out the NBA Finals, and, you know, they still pretty much have their core intact, so I feel like they'll just be up there. They'll be up there. They just have to make sure they don't, you know, get too caught up in the championship honeymoon and still keep up their intensity on defense and, you know, play like they always play. And if Giannis gets better, 10%, like, they'll be even better. So they'll be up there. They're going to be one or two seed.
Yeah, the Tucker loss is a big point. You know, you're right. I mean, nobody can guard Kevin Durant, but he makes it interesting. Let's just put it that way. So I think that is a big loss. But that kid, you know, he looks good tonight. And I think if he can grow up and come of age quickly, you know, he's going to make an impact. TP, what do you think about the Bucks' chances this year of repeating as champions with the lineup that they're bringing back?
I think they could win the East. They're looking strongly as they do right now against Brooklyn. I think if Kyrie does take the shot, it makes it a different dynamic. But right now, I don't see nobody stopping them. If they remain healthy, they're going to end up getting DiVincenzo back too. They're doing this without Dante. So that's another piece that they'll get. If they can stay healthy, get the pieces that they got, they can save Budenholzer a ton of money by switching to Geico. So we'll see how this actually ends up turning around, but I think that the Bucks should win the Eastern Conference unless Boston gets Kyrie back. I don't see any team in the East strong enough to slow down Giannis and company.
Yeah, I would like to apologize to Budenholzer. I killed him all through the end of the regular season and into the playoffs. I said the Bucks would not win a championship because of him. They won a championship with him. And, you know, I thought if they would have lost at any point, he would have been gone and he would have been the difference. But, he's got a ring, man. So, you got to put some more respect on that. But I'll stay out in the East and then we'll move to the West. Listen, there's teams – not just a step below the Nets and the Bucks and the Sixers, who, you know, we don't think they're in that level, but they're playoff caliber teams. So TP, I'll come to you. The teams that are going to be vying, you know, at what we think is the 4, 5, 6 seed to get into the playoffs and not get into the play-in game. What teams do you think will be realistic candidates to get to that 4, 5, and 6 seed or a sleeper team, whoever you think is going to get into that game, you know, that 4 to 6 range where they don't have to do that play-in tournament type of game?
You know, this makes it interesting because I wonder where Philly falls, because they actually have a good enough team to still make the playoffs, and wondering where they end up falling in between 3 through 6 is funny or fickle. You know what? I'll save face and say Philly stays at 4. I give them 4. I won't let them fall out of the 4 position. 5, as quickly as I can do this, I'm trying to see where.
So who's your 3?
Hornets,
man. Who's your 3?
I go Brooklyn, and I go Boston. I think Boston will be number 3 in the East.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then who else you got?
I think Tatum and Brown healthy again. These guys have to do it now. They have to prove that they're able to stand pat in the Eastern Conference. 4, Philly. 5, I go Hornets. I think the Hornets, they just got to stay healthy. LaMelo Ball is their ticket to get this done. 6, I go Hawks right now. I want to see if the Hawks can show to me that they're not fool's gold. The run that they had last year, I feel like that was almost devastatingly flukish. Especially where things fell apart at the end of the season. And, I mean, it's unfortunate that Trey had rolled his ankle. But I want to see if they can actually be as strong as they were last year. I don't feel the Hawks can actually do this back-to-back. So I'll put the Hawks 6 and see how the rest of the Eastern Conference fizzles out.
Interesting take. Alan, I'll come to you. So, yeah, give me your 1 through 6 that make the playoffs without having getting the play-in. But I'm curious about your 4 to 6 range. Who are those teams that should get into that that second tier, so to speak, in the Eastern Conference?
So Brooklyn, Milwaukee are going to be the 1 or 2. So my number 3 is going to have some contingencies. So if Victor Oladipo comes back to 85% of who he was, if Tyler Hero takes a step, many people say he had a sophomore slump. If Duncan Robinson can live up to his $90 million contract, and then if Kyle Lowry is still Kyle Lowry, the one
you got a lot of
championship,
Alan, Put the stamp on it.
My point is the Miami Heat could be the number 3 seed. Number 4, I'm going to put the Sixers because I just think Embiid is that dude. He's that good. He's going to be probably top 3 MVP candidate. I think, you know, whether Ben plays or not, it looks like Ben's probably not going to play. I think Embiid just kind of over Ben something. He's just going to be like, this is my team. I'm going to put the team on my back. So I got them at number 4. The 5 is tricky because I'm thinking last year, Hawks, one of these two teams overachieved, Hawks or the Knicks. Obviously, with the Hawks going to Eastern Conference Finals, I'm going to say they overachieved in that. One of those teams is going to come back down to earth. It's hard for me to say. Hopefully, for your sake, Barry, that the Knicks could be the 5th seed. I think they got a good team. They got to stay healthy, obviously. But, you know, it's something about the NBA and the – you know, having, if the Knicks are good, the NBA is good. So, you know, the conspiracy and theory in me says the Knicks are going to have a very good season. So I got them at number 5. And I'm going to go with, let me see. TP mentioned the Hornets. Hornets were my sleeper pick because no one's really talking about them. I'm glad TP mentioned them. They got a very good, young, interesting team. They got LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Miles Bridges, Gordon Hayward's healthy. I think they could make some noise. And, you know, that Eastern Conference between 3 and 8, you know, it's like give or take 5 wins and losses. You could flip flop back and forth. So I'm going to go with that. The Heat, Sixers, Knicks, the Hornets, my 3 to 6.
Interesting. Sirius, I'll come right to you with that question. Who do you think is going to be the top 6 teams that push into the playoffs and you know, leave everybody else for the play-in?
You know, so for the sake of argument, I'm going to go ahead and leave the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks out of the conversation. They'll be 1-2, respectively. The 3 seed... ironically, I'm going to throw a curveball at you guys just because I can. I'm going to say the Chicago Bulls. I think the Chicago Bulls are going to make a lot of people uncomfortable. I think they're going to be a squad that nobody wants to play. I like the addition of Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan. There's something about that team that just, I'm gonna keep an eye on them this year. I think they can get the 3 seed, the 4 seed, the Miami Heat. Need no ring endorsement from me, my man. Just laid it out perfectly. Wow. Obviously, the Atlanta Hawks. You know, I think the Atlanta Hawks get in there. I'm not calling them a fluke. I think that puts me at 5. What the heck? Let's go Hornets. I'm high on the Hornets, too. And here's the thing, like, and not because Barry's sitting here, but I'm not buying the New York Knicks. I can't buy the Knicks.
You can tell me why.
I think.
Yeah, you can tell me. I'm not going to just cut your throat.
I think Philadelphia falls into the play-in tournament. I think, again, until they grow a pair and get rid of this Ben Simmons shadow, I think it's going to hover over them. It wouldn't shock me if by All-Star weekend, the narrative is Doc Rivers is, you know, on the hot seat and things of that nature. I don't like the fact that they're dependent upon Joel Embiid, who, you know, has won me over as a fan. But Tobias Harris is very, very streaky. Danny Green, very, very streaky. Maxey, very, very streaky. Their whole lineup and their roster, there's nothing really solidified outside of Ben Simmons, if you will. You lost your depth. You know, I think Dwight Howard was a tremendous piece that you now lost. So I think they fall a little bit. Interesting team, just because I live here, is Washington. I'm curious to see what they look like. But my issue with the Knicks is a couple of things. First and foremost, I don't think you can run an offense and win with Julius Randle as your focal point. I just don't think that's possible. Second of all, you're putting way too much pressure and stock into two guys that have shown you to be injury prone. That's in Kemba Walker, who has yet to play 482. He's always hurt, out with some type of broken toenail or something. And obviously Derrick Rose, who, again, scares the living heck out of me. Is this the year, Barry? And again, we can go back and forth until the rest of the time if you want. But is this the year that R.J. Barrett, you know, finally takes his leap forward and makes good on his promise, and not his high draft ranking? There's a lot of question marks that surround the New York Knicks. I think Tibbs is going to have to play more offense than defense, and nobody's scared of the Garden. So, you know, they make the play-in tournament. And depending upon who they play, they may back their way into the actual, you know, eight playoff, you know, tournament or whatever the case may be. But we'll see what happens. I'm not a fan of the Knicks at all.
You know, I said I was going to be nice. I wasn't going to chew your head off. But that's not – I lied. I'm the villain. Of course I'm going to retort. Allow me to retort. Like, come on, man. I'm serious. Like, you're looking at all the negatives and not bringing up any positives. Listen – R.J. Barrett is going to get better. He didn't make a quantum leap from year one to year two, but he was a 14-point game scorer his rookie year, moved up to 17 points. He was a 40% shooter from the field. He went to 44% from three. I mean, 40 from you know, he's gotten better. His defense has gotten better. I think he keeps improving. I think the pressure is off him now that Kemba's there. I think he's going to flourish, just, you know, getting more floor spacing with Fournier and Kemba there. But, yeah, I mean, listen, it's orange and blue skies. The only haters don't see it as orange and blue skies, maybe. I mean, but seriously, I agree with you guys. I think the Bucks and the Nets are the class. I also agree. I think the Sixers will take a step back. I just don't – I think it really depends on who they get back for Simmons, to see if they can get back into that three spot. But if I had to put a stamp on it, like I forced Allen to, I'm going to put a stamp on it and say, yeah, they're a four seed at best right now. At three, I think the Heat. I don't think people really are – I think people are kind of downplaying Kyle Lowry a little bit. They don't think that he's going to have that much of an impact. I really kind of disagree. I think he's an upgrade from Grodzic because he's a better defender. I think, and he's playoff tested. He's tough. So I think that, and they got a bunch of shooters. Jimmy Buckets is just a beast when he wants to be. I think that Heat team is going to be just fine. I think they're going to play into a three seed, to be honest with you. I'll have the Sixers at four. I'm going with my Knicks as a five. I look at all the negatives that Sirius brought out, and they're valid points, but I'm going to look at the positives. I'm going to say Kemba, you know, gets back to that level. His last year in Charlotte was his career year. I don't think he'll get to that level. But I think if he's in, you know, playing 25 to 30 minutes a game, giving you 20 points and maybe 6-7 assists, which is around his career average, I think that's an upgrade from anything that they got from any point guard outside of Derrick Rose last year. So I think the Knicks, with healthy Mitch Robinson, will get Tibbs will have them playing hard throughout the regular season. The playoffs will be a different story, but the regular season where you might see the Nets or the Bucks take off a little bit, I think the Knicks will play hard. They will push themselves into that five seed. I think the six are the Celtics. I agree with TP. I don't have them as high as he does, but I think the Celtics with their big two, it's now or never. I think Jaylen Brown, he's out of COVID protocol. I think he's ready to go with Jason Tatum. I think those two should be they're too talented to be a 500 team, right? I think they're too good. I thought last year was a disaster in all levels. Brad Stevens and company, the coaching, I don't know. They just couldn't get them to play hard, especially on the defensive end. I think that changes this year. I think they have the talent to push themselves into a sixth seed. I do like the Hornets. I will be honest with you. But I just think they're too young. I think, you know, Rozier and Hayward are the veterans, but LaMelo Ball, second year, you got Kelly Oubre coming in. He's a young player. You know, Miles Bridges, hopefully he makes that quantum leap. But then you're looking at Book Knight, Kai Jones. I think they're just going to be a little bit too young to push into that, past that sixth seed. I mean, I honestly, and it's hard to take the Hawks out and put the Celtics in, because I think the Hawks are really talented. But it's going to be a toss-up. I think the East is as strong as it's been in a long time, and it's going to be really fun to see these teams kind of fight for and claw to get to that 4 and 6 sweet spot. But before we move off of the East, the Hornets are the popular pick, and you guys kind of went into it a little bit. Is there any other team outside of the Hornets, I'll let anybody answer it, that you see as a sleeper in the Eastern Conference?
Maybe the Pacers. The Pacers is the only one I really give them a leg up because they got a lot of gunners there, especially with Brogdon and Warren and Tucker, depending on how they pan out. You said Oubre is young? Wait, you said Oubre is young? I doubt that. Oubre's not young. Oubre's been in the league for some time. That's a wild take. I don't even know if that's like a take. I feel like you're shooting in the dark. We'll see how the Hornets do. And oh, yeah, by the way, there was something else you said. Believing a black coach in Boston. I feel like that culture has been there before with Casey Jones. You have another guy that's a black coach, and he's a winner. Because Nia Long is his wife. So Nia Long will be on these sidelines too. So this would be great for Boston. They need that.
Man. Nia Long, still a legend. Oh, my goodness. Kelly Oubre's 25 years old. I think that's old in NBA years because he came out. When did he come out, TP? Did he come out 19? So
that's
he's
right.
been in the league for.
He came out,
yeah,
he came
he's
out
been in the league.
Yeah. Came out early.
Yeah, he's been in the league for a while, but he's 25 years old and not a lot of playoff experience. So that's why, in my mind, he's young. But, yeah, you're right, TP. He's been in the league long enough. He's actually considered a veteran on this team.
No,
because
he's
got
been
a lot
in the league
of kids.
In 2015. 2019 is his salary. That's the deal that he signed. 2015 is when he came out of the draft. This is his sixth season.
Right. Yeah, but he's 25 years old.
Right. But
he's 25.
I mean, he knows – he knows what it takes to be in his league. I mean, he got veterans.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Giannis. Giannis is, what, 26, 27? I mean,
yep.
He's been here too. So, like, I mean, would you consider him young, old? I mean, he's young to the league, but he's been here for some time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I don't want to look at
totally
it like, oh, he's I don't want to look at it like he's wet behind the ears. Plus, Oubre's been alongside Steph Curry and them, Russell Westbrook and them. Like, he's been in different spots where he's picked up a ton of knowledge along the way, so I would consider him vet at least. At least I'm saying.
I thought he was a little shaky. I thought he was a little shaky in Golden State, to be honest with you. I think it was a lot of pressure to kind of be that.
Yeah,
he did.
Golden State, I don't want to say
did,
shaky.
Thought,
shaky.
Go ahead, TP. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you run.
No, I honestly thought it was a lot of pressure on him to fill in, because he was essentially filling in Klay Thompson's shoes. I just didn't think they're not the same player, so I think the expectation on him made me think he was shaky, but he had a solid year last year. I think, you know, what was his numbers?
I thought it was 15 a game. I think it was a little higher than that. But still, it was a tough situation for him to kind of come in. It was his third team since coming into the league. Yeah, he was about 15 points. 15 points, 6 rebounds. So it wasn't terrible, but I mean, they needed him to be that number two guy, scorer. So I mean, go ahead, TB. I'll let you clean it up.
No, you can continue. You can continue. I want to get to the West at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Sirius, Allen, any other sleepers before we just move out west?
My pick for the sleeper was Sirius's. I was going to say the Bulls, but Sirius has them as high as number three, which I personally think is a stretch. I was thinking the Bulls would be a sleeper pick because I think Zach LaVine has a chance to lead the league in scoring with Lonzo Ball as his point guard, and I feel like Lonzo Ball is going to really step it up and try to make a run for most improved player. So if those two click, and then they have DeMar and Vujicic, and then I know they got Caruso, and then Patrick Williams takes a deep. I was picking them as my sleeper pick. I'm just not sure how DeRozan and LaVine and Vujicic are going to work together. Vujicic kind of plays like, you know, he posts up a lot, but he also hits the 15, 18 footer. And we all know DeRozan's just mid-range. So that's going to get kind of clogged up. And then, so we'll see how it works. But the Bulls were my sleeper pick to be a surprise contender. Like maybe, I'm thinking they may be a 6 seed at best if everything goes well.
Interesting. Sirius, go ahead and we'll go to the West.
You know what? I keep it short. I was thinking Orlando just to kind of think outside the box, so to speak. But we can move over to the West.
Yeah, because you can't defend that. Come on, don't go Orlando.
No, I'm kidding.
No, listen, I think the Bulls are going to be a good team. I don't think as high as Sirius has them. No disrespect. I just think, to Allen's point, it's too many mid-range guys. I think Ball does help LaVine play off the ball, so he doesn't have to be so ball dominant. So I see his numbers going up. And Lonzo Ball is proof that if you work at it, you can have a jump shot in this league, Ben Simmons. So that's all I got to say about the Bulls. But let's go to the West, y'all, where the Lakers, everybody wants to say they're the AAR team. I mean, you know, they're younger than me. It was sad to say because I'm getting old. But, you know, they got LaMelo. They got Melo, I mean, off in the off season. They got obviously the big trade was Westbrook to go with their two stars, LeBron and AD. They're looking like the favorites to come out West. You know, it's going to be interesting to see who's at the top of the West. But, I mean, TP, I'll start with you since you're a Western Conference guy with the Thunder and such out there. Is there any team that can push the Lakers at this point in time and push them out of the playoffs? I think you're on mute, but I mean, like, is there any
I was running off of that, and the two teams that I was saying is based upon injury right now, and I don't like to base it on injury, but one would be the Warriors, depending on what Klay looks like after the injury. I've seen him getting shots up this summer, and his stroke is there. That's what I was concerned about because he has a high release. So he was hitting shots. He hit a couple straight. And the other one would be how Kawhi looks upon his injury, seeing how he could bounce back, because I feel like this is one of the last couple of trips for that Clipper team, despite losing their coach, despite losing a couple of interesting pieces there. They can't continue to hide behind that any longer. They have to try and go out there and win it. That's what they brought Kawhi out there to do, is to try and slow down LeBron and them. And I know that this is like fighting the Avengers and all of these guys, but those are at least the two teams that I feel like can try and cause some disarray out West. I don't know how much I put stock into Luka. I feel like Luka has to get out of the first round right now. I'm putting a ton of pressure on him this season. Another team is the Denver Nuggets as well. Denver Nuggets, they have these years where Jokic goes off, but in the postseason something happens and they just don't find it. So those are at least a few teams that I feel like then could pose some threats. But right now I feel like the Lakers are too strongly constructed right now.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you. I think that pressure on Luka is warranted because you ask anybody, he's one of the top five players in the league. If you, you know, let them tell it. If he can't get out of the first round, to your point, you know, what are we talking about?
No, I
wouldn't say he's top five, but everybody always says that he is. He's an MVP candidate. He's the next one, blah, blah, blah. But this guy can't get out of the first round. I know he'd be happy if he doesn't have to face the Clippers, right? Because that's one of his Achilles heel. That and Porzingis is actually his other kryptonite at this point, which I'll get to in a little bit. But I totally agree with you. Yeah, the Lakers, you know, I don't know if there's anybody that can push him. Sirius, I'll come to you. Is it the Lakers conference to lose, or is there another team like TP's saying that can push them to the brink?
Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I said this when it comes to Milwaukee Bucks. In order to be the champs, you have to beat them. And I'm not ready to sit here and throw what the Phoenix Suns did away, man. Like, this team came together. You got the floor general and CP3 back for another run at it. You know, honestly, for me, it's not the Lakers, you know, conference to lose. They have to go out there and get it done now. With that being said, I do give them a puncher's shot, you know, if everything is equal and everybody's healthy. But and for me, it's the Phoenix Suns, and everybody else is going to be staring up at them until they get knocked off. Coming off a season the way they did, to lose the way they did, it's going to stick at Chris Paul. Like, this is his first time in the NBA Finals. He's going to want to get back there and try to get it, you know what I'm saying? Like my man TP alluded to with, you know, PG-13 and Kawhi and LA, I have to be eating at CP3 all the more, you know, to play the game for as long as he has and keep coming up short. You know, it took him a long time to get out of the second round, and he finally got out of the second round. It took him a long time to get to an NBA Finals, and he got there and, you know, lost four straight in the manner in which he did, you know. So I think the Phoenix Suns are going to be the class of the Western Conference. But with that being said, there's a bunch of other teams that you really got to take into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll definitely talk about the Suns in a bit. You know, can they get back to it? But, Alan, I'll come to you. I definitely want to get your take on the Lakers right now. Is it their conference to lose, or can a team push them?
So I know everyone's talking about the Lakers and everything. They pretty practically signed everybody. But I don't think it's their conference to lose, because I remember last time they tried to put Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, Kobe, Paul Gasol all in one team, and that team failed up to live up to expectations. So, I mean, the jury's still out. I don't see how – I'm trying to figure out how LeBron and Westbrook are going to work together, because they're so ball dominant, and the two of them aren't great shooters. So for them to be off the ball, so I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work. We know AD's injury history. You know, if he's healthy, he's top five, top seven player on both sides. The jury's still out. You know, is Melo going to start? If not, is he going to be happy becoming a sixth man? So it's just a lot of question marks for the Lakers. But the other Sirius is right. Suns are still, you know, contenders. They pretty much have their same starting five. They added another shooter in Shamet. I think they added JaVale McGee. They just need another stretch four. They need like an upgrade over what's his name? Darko Šarić. I was hoping they got a Markkanen. If they had got a Markkanen somehow, who's on the Cavs now, like that would have been a big upgrade for their stretch four. So I think they're still legit, because you got CP3, Devin Booker. That's arguably the best backcourt in the NBA right now. I think the Suns are big contenders, and then the Nuggets. You know, they got the MVP. They got an up-and-coming star, Michael Porter Jr. Big question for the Nuggets is the health of Jamal Murray. It'll probably be hard for him to get back to how he was playing in the bubble. But if he could get anywhere close to how he was playing in the bubble, They also have Aaron Gordon. They have Willie Barton. That's a pretty solid starting five. I mean, their bench needs some work, but, I mean, those are the two teams I think that can compete for the top seed. And I know we always talk about the Jazz. Yeah, the Jazz, they just remind me of a team, like, they're always going to be contenders because their roster, like, is pretty solid. But I don't see them contending, so I'm going to take the Jazz out. Let me backtrack on that. But it's going to be the Suns and the Nuggets, I think, that are going to, quote-unquote, you know, challenge the Lakers for a top spot. But the jury is still out on the Lakers. I don't even think if they even want to get the top seed, you know. They might try to just coast all season and preserve their energy because they're pretty much old. So they're just, as long as they make the playoffs as a top four seed, I think that's their goal, just to stay healthy for the playoff run.
I mean, they made so many additions. I'm looking at it. It's Westbrook, Anthony, Rondo, Howard, Nunn, Monk, Jordan, Bazemore, Ariza, et cetera, you know, Avery Bradley. This is a whole flip roster. Give Pelinka the credit because there was no room to make any kind of moves, and they figured out how to turn over that whole roster. But that's a roster with turnover, so that's going to be a lot of learning, a lot of growing pains. I agree with you, Alan. I really feel like it can work with Westbrook and LeBron because LeBron is the smartest player on the court right now. He could figure out how to make it work. I think it's going to be Westbrook conceding and conceding the ball to LeBron. I think LeBron has to handle the ball more because he's the better point guard. I think he controls the pace. I think he's a better passer, what have you. But I don't know how long you can play Westbrook off the ball because he can hit shots, but he's not a knockdown shooter. So it's going to be interesting. Vogel has his work cut out for him. How does he handle the minutes for AD? Because AD is injury prone, doesn't stay healthy. I think he has to figure out how to manage the minutes. He has to figure out how to keep, you know, LeBron fresh, but then also he has to get them on the court so they can figure out how to play off each other and make it work. I think the Lakers at the end, I think they'll probably be a three seed. I don't think they'll put a lot of stock into the regular season, but I mean, when the playoffs come, the lights are on. I don't know anybody that's beaten that team. And I think, you know, that's going to be the narrative for the Lakers. I think the underrated part of the Lakers is the fact that Dwight Howard is back. I don't think he's not on the level of LeBron and AD, but the Lakers should have never let him and JaVale McGee go. That was the biggest mistake, letting them go for Gasol. They thought it was an upgrade. It wasn't. He was the rebounder, the toughness that allowed AD to play away from the basket. I think having him back is a huge lift for the Lakers, but now they just got to figure it out. I agree with you. I think the whole West, and I love TP's take. I think the Warriors are going to be there. I like the Suns as a pick, but after that, I feel like these teams are good. They're going to be good in the regular season, but then they'll start beating each other up. But then once the playoffs come, they'll start picking each other off, and they'll be like, we'll be talking about, oh, wow, can the Lakers beat this team? Can the Lakers beat that team? And then as it starts to unfold, nobody will be left for the Lakers to beat up on. And I feel like those teams are just pushing back. The Clippers aren't going to be there. I think the Nuggets, I don't know about the Nuggets. I can't put them on that top three. I think the Jazz, they're a deep team, but when it comes down to it, they're not an elite team. The Mavericks, can Porzingis, can he be Robin? Can he accept that role? I don't know. The Blazers just don't have enough outside of Dame to me. There's just so many question marks with these teams that are good, but they're not going to be good enough for the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if anybody has an opinion, but I mean, that's kind of how I see it. Okay.
No, you're good.
Okay. All right. No, I was leaving the floor open, but I'll take the mic. Like one mic.
I always forget to do, call in number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 20 minutes talking Western Conference NBA preview special with the Chefs Crossover Cafe. The Suns, you know, it was great to see CP3 make a deep run into the playoffs. And, you know, they were 12-4 in the Western Conference, and they won the first two games. And then, you know, got buzzsawed by the Bucks in four straight. And it was just heartache. It was two games away from CP holding up that trophy, validating himself as a point guard, elite point guard, not as a point guard, as one of the great point guards of all time. I still think he's one of the top point guards to ever play, but that trophy just says it all. TP, I'll come to you. Can he make another run, 36 years old, to get back to the finals, especially with the Lakers, the Lakers are now basically retooled, reloaded. Can he make that run to get his team back to the finals against the Lakers, against whoever, the Warriors, whoever we want to put out there? Does he have another run in him?
No, I don't think so. I think he's in trouble, man. I think it's over for his run to get to a finals. The Suns aren't a team that I see getting to the finals the way that they're constructed. They have too much youth, and Chris Paul is older. And the way that he looked in that finals trying to defend, it didn't look good. And injuries are starting to haggle him now at the end of his career. I was questioning him when he was in his latter part of Houston. He made that bounce back and made them better in OKC. He did a good run with Phoenix, but now the West is even more powerful. I don't think they'll get anywhere. I feel like they're going to be struggling out West. They'll win games, but the Suns turned into themselves in that final.
Yeah, I mean, I think not giving DeAndre Ayton a contract is – I don't think it's a distraction, but I wish they had tied that up. I don't know why they couldn't get the deal done. I think they were just far apart on numbers or what have you, but – yeah, I want to disagree with you because I do like CP3, but I don't know. It's going to be tough. Sirius, what do you think about the Suns? Does CP3 have another run in him?
I want him to have another run in him so bad. I really do. He's arguably my favorite point guard that's ever played this game, like so many others have alluded to. But, again, so much had to go right for them to get there a season ago. I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. Like, for me, man, like, I want to see him get there. I really want to see him get there. I just don't know if he's going to be able to do it in the Western Conference this season.
Yeah, I don't know. Alan, what do you think about the Suns? They have another finals run in them?
A finals run? No, but I think they're going to make noise. I mean, I think they're a contender. But you're asking me another finals run. No, I don't think another finals run. But you never know what will happen in the NBA season. Injuries can happen. Trades can happen. DeAndre Ayton might become Shaq and deserve his max contract. Right now, he doesn't deserve a max contract. Cameron Johnson can become that stretch forward that they need. Maybe he takes another step. Mikal Bridges just signed his contract, so maybe he'll take another leap. But to answer your specific question, finals run, no. But they're going to contend. You know, adding JaVale McGee, another big, a mobile big. I know you're going to laugh, Barry, but, you know, Alfred Payton as a backup to CP3, he's a solid backup. He's not a starter. And then, you know, Landry Shamet is a good, solid shooter off the bench. So, They added to their bench to their roster. They didn't really lose anyone, but no, they're not going to make another finals run, but they'll be contenders.
Yeah, well, I mean, I really hope they do. I hope they come with one more run. To your guys' point, I really do like CP3. It was good to see him get a run in him, but yeah, I don't know if they're going to have enough. Out west, we got the Suns, we got the Lakers. We alluded to the Warriors. Sirius, I'll come to you. Who else do you think rounds out that top six in the West to not have that play-in game?
I think the Clippers are in there as a possible 3 seed.
I think that, honestly, the Dallas Mavericks are going to be, you know, right there in the thick of things. I'm not ready to display or discount the Utah Jazz when you got a player like Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and the way they're constructed. I think they're going to be in the picture. As of right now, Dame Dalla is still Dame Dalla. So they're going to make some noise out west. The Golden State Warriors, I don't think they get into the play-in game. I think they solidify and round up the top six, if you will. I think, especially once they get Klay Thompson back, I think this team is really going to take off. I don't see them resembling their old self, but, you know, you got Klay Thompson coming back. You go out and re-sign Andre Iguodala, who's familiar with the system, who is a 3-and-D type of dude. He plays tremendous defense. He's a guy who you were talking about throwing on KD. He frustrates LeBron. You know, he's just a smart all-around player. So I think that him being back in Golden State is another guy whose basketball IQ is there. We start dealing with, you know, Draymond Green and Steph and somebody who can, you know, put in the crunch time to do something for you. So that's my top six. I'm curious to see what the Pelicans look like. So I think they may, you know, get into that playing game. Let's see. The Rockets are too young. I don't see my squad doing too much of anything but entertaining me and making me frustrated. The Memphis Grizzlies. I'm sticking the buck with you. I mean, that's my squad. I love them to death, but they need to grow up a little bit. The Memphis Grizzlies are going to be another team to keep an eye on. They had, you know, just signed some massive deals and some deals. And then, obviously, TP's OKC Thunder, you know, saying we're curious to see what they do. I think this is the first year in a long time. I think this is going to be the end of Pop in San Antonio. I don't think the Spurs are going to do too much of anything this year. I don't see them making a run. I don't see them getting to the playoffs. I think this is going to be the end of Pop.
You know, I'll just go there. I think the Grizzlies are a sneaky team. I think Steven Adams is offensively not as good as Valanciunas, but I think he's going to provide defensive toughness. I think that trade allowed them to get Zaire Williams, who I really like coming out of college. I don't know if he's going to crack that starting lineup, but I think off the bench he'll be a nice player. Ja Morant's going to come into his own. I got to tell you, I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Zion because he looks like the kid that ate Zion right now. Like, he looks like the Hamburglar. I mean, like, it's not looking good. I mean, the pictures are, you know, tell a lot of – I hope it's Photoshopped or something because he don't look good at all right now. But, you know, Alan, I'll come to you. Give me your top six in the West. Like, who do you think is going to be there behind the Lakers and whoever we, you know, we had, the Warriors, Suns, what have you?
So top six. So I think the Jazz are going to do what they did last year. They're going to compete for the top seed and then, you know, not do much in the playoffs. So I'm just going to throw the Jazz as a top seed because they pretty much have the same team. They added Rudy Gay. They added someone else. Rudy Gay. They deepened their bench, but I know they added Rudy Gay. So let's go with them number one. And then I'm going to go with let's go with the Nuggets at number two. Because they have the MVP, Michael Porter. Hopefully, Murray comes back. We've got the Lakers at three. You got the Suns at four. And then it all depends with the Warriors and Klay. It's tough, you know, like TP said earlier, Klay's got that shot. But he also defends, so we'll see how he comes back from the injuries. But they could be number five. And then, you know, Luka, we can argue, you know, he's up there. Whether it's top five, top eight, I think he's up there depending how you evaluate players and skill set. You got to say the argument's there for him to be top five player. So I think they're going to wind up being the number six seed. And then the Clippers, you know, Kawhi, I want to always argue for Kawhi. He has two finals MVPs. He has two rings. He carried the Raptors. But the fact that he's just, like, he's injured or his load management, I don't know if it's in him. Like, I don't know if, like, basketball is like, his love, like, his, like, sweat and tears. Like, I just think he, I don't know. But if they could come back, you know, Clippers would be there at seven. I think the Grizzlies, you said that they're going to sleeper pick. I think they're going to make a jump because Ja Morant's going to make a jump. He's going to, you know, there's going to be an argument. He's going to probably be like an all-star snub again. And then Jaren Jackson just signed a big deal. Hopefully he'll live up to that contract and put up some numbers. And they just have a good young nucleus. It's just a matter of developing them and then see if they, you know, like, who is it, Dylan Brooks, see if Dylan Brooks could take that next step, be the third option. Kyle Anderson, he, if you ever watch him, he's like the slowest player in the NBA, but he gets his job done. He gets that past people. He has a jumper. He can handle the ball. It's just, and then, but I actually, did they get Bledsoe for, and Steven Adams for Valanciunas? I actually like Valanciunas. I thought he brought that, I thought he brought the grit to the Grizzlies. So I think he's actually a big loss. But like you said, Barry, maybe Steven Adams could fill up that point defensively. But I feel like, yeah, that would be the top eight. I have no confidence in the Pelicans because, like you said, Zion, I don't know. I was texting with someone the other day. I feel like in 5 years, Zion's going to be that big disappointment. And, you know, in 5 years, he might still put up 20 and 10 stats-wise, but I feel like he's going to be on a team that doesn't go to the playoffs. He's going to have leg injuries and weight issues. I think he's going to be a big disappointment in like 5 years. So I don't see the Pelicans doing anything. And then the Blazers, I don't know. Like everyone says, it's kind of like it's just Dame and CJ. And then who else is going to step up? But you never know. But that's my top eight, the Grizz at number eight.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Zion. I hope he's not a bust. I think he's a good kid. He's likable. But, I mean, I got to see more. Eric Bledsoe with the Clippers, I think that's a solid get. I think he'll stabilize the scoring a little bit until Kawhi. I don't know when Kawhi's coming back. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh,
I don't know if
Clippers.
He's going to want to come back this year. Yeah, I don't know if Kawhi's going to want to come back this year. We just don't know. You know, if it's a load management thing, I don't expect to see him play this year. So who knows? But yeah, TP, I'll come to you. We got about 8 minutes left. Like, who do you like in the West? Is your top six teams?
Both LA's, Denver. I still think you got to deal with Portland. Dallas is going to be in a fray, as much as I don't want to give them, you know, too much leeway, but you got to worry about them. I got two LA's, Denver, Portland, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to sneak a sixth one in there somehow, and it's so loaded out west too, man. I'm going to put Phoenix in there. I got it because they got the finals experience. Chris Paul is there, but I don't think they're going to go far. I don't. Mm-hmm. And I want to say Utah, but the way that they looked in the postseason, that looked bad. And the reason why I say that is they can't continue to put all the pressure on Rudy to funnel it to him and for him to protect the rim all day. One through three, they have to defend. And as much as I like Donovan because he's a Connecticut guy, they can't D two through three real bad. It's bad. They couldn't D a two guard or a three guard if they tried. And it's going to show when it gets later in the season and postseason push as well. The way that they attacked Donovan Mitchell's feet, it didn't look good. Offensively, he's a juggernaut. Defensively, he's a liability. I don't really believe in Utah to be consistent to be a top four again. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I you know, when you start stacking those teams, it's hard to really – I can see the Jazz. That's what I like about the West because I think the Lakers are the Lakers, but I think it's so fluctuating because the teams are so close that you can have Denver go as high as two or they can go as low as seven, right? Or you can have the Blazers as low as eight or they can go as high as four. You know, it's like there's so much fluctuation – it's usually like a game or two. So I agree with you. I like the Warriors and the Lakers at the top, but I think the Lakers will be a 3 seed. I think the Suns and the Warriors will probably push 1 and 2. I think the Clippers are not up there yet. I'll put Denver at 4. I'll put Clippers at 5. And I'll say the Mavericks at 6. I think the Grizzlies and the Blazers will be vying for that play-in game. I think those will be the 7-8s. I mean, I really think, and I'll ask you guys really quickly, I think Dallas figures it out. I don't think they did enough in the offseason to improve their team. I think they got some nice pieces. They got Nick Kastos, okay. They're the Knicks in Dallas. It's kind of crazy to me. But if Porzingis can accept the fact that he's not the guy, that it's not his team, it's Luka's team, he could be a very good two. He could be the best two we could see in the league if he accepts that role. I mean, the sky's the limit for him. TP, does Porzingis accept the role of Robin?
I think so. I mean, he has to because you don't want him to go somewhere else and then have to prove his role and as good as a player he is. I think he has to try to make this work as best as possible. But Luka has to work with him. Like, it can't just be on and off for him.
Yeah.
Luka's this problem, too. Luka can't just keep coming across half court and just jacking up shots. He has to get this guy involved and make him feel like he's a part of the team, and then he keeps snarling up his face at him. It's like, everybody's cold watching you go crazy, and let alone it's a good show to watch, but everybody's ice cold. I don't know how you figure it out. So Luka has to get these people involved as well.
I totally agree with you, TP. I think they both need to concede. They both have to. Serious, I'll come real quick. Does Porzingis accept his role?
No, I don't think he does. I think this is going to be a situation where I don't think it's going to be as bad as Ben Simmons, where he's disgruntled and, you know, becomes a problem. But this is just going to be hovering over the Dallas Mavericks for a while until they move him. But again, Luka is that dude that's gonna be able to carry him. That's why I have him not in the play situation. But I don't think KP accepts his role.
I hope he does, and I hope to TP's point, Luka gets him involved. You gotta play with him. You gotta play off his strengths, and just not. You can't have Porzingis sitting in the corner waiting to shoot threes. That's not where he's gonna be effective. Alan, real quick. Does Porzingis accept his role in Dallas charge ahead?
So I think the better question is how Jason Kidd is going to handle Luka. Is he going to force Luka to distribute the ball more? Because when I watch the Mavs game, all I see is Luka bring up the ball, dribble, dribble, step back three. I don't see him getting anyone involved like TP and Sirius said. So I feel like that's got to be Luka's next step. I know he gets his assist, but like, he needs to get him involved. I know it's, you know, you get assists. He gets his assist, but I just feel like he doesn't really get his team involved. Sometimes I'm wondering, like, how does he rack up 13 assists? He really doesn't pass the ball. But I feel like that's going to be up to Jason Kidd and how he's going to let Luka develop, because they didn't really add another ball handler to the roster. I mean, they have, like, Jalen Brunson and Trey Burke, but they're more like, they're like ball handlers. Trey Burke's more of a, like a scoring guard. But they didn't add another ball handler, so it's just surrounded Luka more shooters. So I think better question is how Jason Kidd and Luka develop. But I feel like KP has all the talent and the skills to be a number two. Like, he's 7'3". Like, get in the post, learn a jump hook, learn a drop step. Like, he there was that stretch where I know Knicks fans overreacted and thought he was, like, the next unicorn. But he can put up – like, he didn't have a bad season. I mean, if you look at his stats, he put up 20 points and 9 rebounds. Like, those are Robin stats. But for the Mavs to take that next level, like, KP might have to – KP's going to have to put up 25 and 11 and, you know, and block some shots and become a defensive presence. But I think he has all the skill set and talent to be a number two. It's all up to Jason Kidd and how – He can't just let Luka just, like, run the show like what's his name, the prior coach, Rick Carlisle, where Luka was just Luka's show. I feel like it's got to be more ball distribution, more all-around balance effect.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, KP is capable. I think it's to your point, they should have added another point guard. I don't know, as cheap as they could have got. I almost forgot his name. My man that was in L.A. and now is in Boston that, you know, dropped the bag. I literally just forgot his name. Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder.
I just forgot his name. Like, it was so crazy. So, is Schroeder, if they could have got Schroeder, I thought that would have been a help. But, we'll see where the matters play out. So, I mean, we're coming in at the end. I definitely want to get closeouts. I want your champion. Give me your champion pick. And give me a closeout as we get out of here in the kitchen. Great show. First crossover cafe of the NBA season. I'll come to you, Alan. First, give me a champion. Give me a closeout. Thank you so much for calling in, bro.
Wow. It's hard to say, but I'm going to go with the Nets. I just feel like, you know, they have KD. And Harden, I mean, no teams can say they have those two. They got a lot of talent shooters around them. And they can figure out their defense. I think the sky's the limit for the Nets, and even without Kyrie. I feel like Kyrie coming back actually disrupts their season. So I'm gonna go with the Nets.
All right, give me a close. Come on, give me a close.
Oh,
plug something.
So
you got a food blog. Give me your food. Okay.
That food blog's like night. That food blog is starving, so it's always great chatting with y'all. Looking to jump on more calls, so see how all these predictions and all this talk evolves throughout the season. So hoping to jump on more calls later.
Thank you. Our secret sauce behind the Twitter account, Alan. Thank you so much for calling in. Love talking basketball with you. Sirius, give me your champion and give me your clothes. I know it's not going to be the Rockets. Or the Knicks, I know that. But give me.
Not gonna be the Knicks either.
Exactly. Give me something. Give me a close, bro.
It's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703, man. Definitely a pleasure to be here with you guys on the season premiere at Crossover Cafe, affiliate here at Sports City Chefs and SportsCityChefs.com. Definitely check us out. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitter. We're doing so much stuff right now, man. I can't wait to, you know, be a part of all of it, man. If I'm going to pick a champion, he just dropped down. I'm going to go with the Lakers, man. I think the Lakers find a way to get it done and get Melo his first championship. I think that's going to be something nice. So give me the Lakers to win it all, which is going to be interesting in the barbershop and here in the kitchen, man. It's going to be fun. With that being said, catch you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to pick the Nets. I think despite not having Kyrie, I think eventually he'll get the shot. He'll have a speech about it. I think he set it up just so he'll get the shot and everything will be all roses. He'll be playing and the Nets will be unstoppable. Listen, great show with the Crossover Cafe. The Crossover Cafe will not be airing for a week or two. As the baseball season comes to a close, the World Series, then it'll air on Thursdays at 9:00. Dave will be doing that show. I'm not sure who's going to be co-hosting that show with him. I'm sure we'll find some chefs, but it'll be a lot of fun talking basketball. We'll all be calling in at some point because we all love the hoop. And we got the, like Sirius said, we got the finger foods up. My recap of my pathetic Giants. Sirius talking about his Steelers. Not impressed with the Steelers, even though they got to win. They're 500. We were in the same boat a couple weeks ago. They're 500 now. Should be happy. I wish I was 500. I still wouldn't be happy, but, you know, whatever. But we got a lot of shows coming up. We got a lot of things cooking. Get to the blogs. We got a lot of articles going up. I'll be doing some waiver wire ads and drops, so check that out. Got my survivor pool. I'm still in my survivor pool, fellas, so I'm still doing big things. A lot of things going on the website. We got some partnerships that we're working on. Sports City is going to grow. But on that note, I will kick it over to the boss man, who this would not be possible, Mr. TP Timeless, to get his pick and then get his close out, as only he can do it. TP Timeless, you know what to do, my man.
I'm going to go with the Lakers to win the West. Somebody gonna have to show me that they can slow all that down. That's too much. That's a lot. So I'm gonna put on my blazer, tighten up the tie, and get up out of this doggone building. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We should be back here tomorrow with the grill, all types of lit, with all types of topics and information. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on the spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City.